This is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, Washington. I'm Lily Haight, and as November approaches, voters are getting ready to mail in their ballots. Here in Jefferson County, we have one major contested race. Two candidates are vying for the District 2 seat on the Board of County Commissioners. Today, I'm speaking with those two candidates, Lorna Smith and Heidi Eisenhower, about some of the issues facing today's voters. We'll start with Heidi Eisenhower, who announced her bid for commissioner this May. Hi, Heidi. Thanks for being here today.
You bet. Happy to be here, Lily.
Yeah. So we're in September now, and we're getting nearer to the election season. How has it felt to run a campaign during this global pandemic? It's been a crazy summer.
It's been a crazy 7 months. And the first thing I would say about campaigning in the pandemic is I decided to run about at the beginning of the governor, you know, sending us all home. So it was a really strange time to try to know what to expect. And I didn't. And so it's been very fluid and changing. And I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm creative and kind of resourceful, so I've just been working with it. But it's been challenging for sure. And I've been planning to run for this seat for about 6 years and talking with David Sullivan since, more seriously, since the last election, but I didn't really decide to run until I got all my ducks in a row in my life personally. And when I decided, right as the pandemic hit, I was like, oh, my timing, brilliant. But when I decided, I reflected on the campaigns that I'd worked on in the past, which were Richard Voigt's campaign many years ago, and then David Sullivan's first campaign, which was now 15 years ago, and thought about the activities that we took part in and what I could do to plan for my campaign. This was all happening in February, pre-COVID-19. And so when the pandemic hit, I was realizing that the best thing about those campaign experiences for me had been the team of people that I had worked on those projects with. And I thought, that's what I need to focus on, my team. And so living in this community, I've watched people work campaigns for decades, and I had the good fortune of knowing a fantastic potential leader for my campaign, Terry Nomura, and she jumped on board, which was awesome, and she came up with the idea of the Heidi for Commissioner masks and started sewing immediately. But what I learned from the experience of gathering my team together is it all comes down to community, and it's going to take our community to get me elected, and that's what I've done. Is recruited my friends and neighbors and allies from the past and asked for their help. And I've had a really wonderful team of about 20 people helping me since April.
Wow.
Yeah. So I love collaboration and communication. And so this has been extremely challenging. And I think that the thing that I would leave you with on this question is that what's come home for me is that community really counts, and people have shown up in ways I've never expected them to, and I appreciate all of the contributions and letters to the editor and support, and it's just been heartening and motivating, and I'm inspired to win the race.
So. Yeah, I mean, we're moving now into, like, I think our seventh month of living through this pandemic and having to stay at home and be socially distanced. And a lot of people are, their lives have really changed from it. And one thing I was wondering is, you know, if you become a commissioner, what are some of the ways that you hope to help people who've been impacted through losing their jobs or their businesses not doing as well because of a lack of visitors and tourists or having to be shut down for many months? What are some of those ways that you feel like you could help?
Well, the first thing I would say is I'm extremely thankful for my job and my team at the Maritime Center. And when we hit the pandemic, we had 40 employees, and we immediately had to ratchet back to a much smaller team. And it was incredibly hard, as anybody who's listening can imagine. And I have focused on supporting those team members and talking about the transition and working through it. And my job changed, and everything changed for 4 or 5 months. I mean, and then we kind of re-entered a steady state, which we've been in for about 6 weeks as a team. And it's just been a really good illustration of the impact of the pandemic on people. Mm-hmm. And I'm very close with all of those people. And it's been a good way for me to be engaged and to see how it's affecting people. So what I've learned through that process is that it's really important to rely on your soft skills to show support and empathy and resourcefulness and compassion for people. It's also really even more important to know where the resources are in the community. And I was completely impressed and inspired by the work of the Jefferson Community Foundation, who rallied together a team of community leaders to run a fund called the COVID-19 Emergency Fund. And they deployed almost $600,000 over the course of the last few months for organizations in our community who were dealing with people who had couldn't pay for their housing, couldn't find food, couldn't find get their basic needs met. And I think that through that process of watching, I was going to their meetings every week and listening in on their grant-making process and hearing how they were making the decisions and who they were granting money to really inspired me and made me realize that there are so many resources in the community that people need to know about and that people don't know about, that it's really important to be as a leader in the community to know where those resources are and to connect people to them. So it's something I've done for most of my professional life is building connections between people. And I think that it's something that I would do in my role as a county commissioner naturally, and I would probably focus on that and find connections outside of our community where we could bring resources from other places to bear on our community and take care of people for the long haul. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy, and there's a lot of choppy water ahead. I'm positive of that. I mean, kids are going back to school this week. The state just extended the free meals for kids for till the end of the year, I think, but until, was it just a Monday or just recently, we didn't know if that was going to continue, and people were feeling food insecurity around the food that they're getting for kids. So I think that continuing to rally community support will be a critical role for anyone in a leadership position in our community, and I think that that's how I would focus.
Yeah. And what about reaching out to the federal government? Because, you know, we had the stimulus at the beginning, but since then, I mean, people haven't been getting assistance anymore. And it's kind of been...
Right. Is this where I'm going to swear and you're going to have to edit it out?
Yeah, maybe.
The federal government, I mean, we were getting some CARES support, and there's rumor of another small tranche of unemployment funding coming to people in Washington State. But yeah, reaching out to the federal government is totally an option and is something I've done often in my work on land conservation in the community and the region, is matching federal dollars with state dollars. And I think that's an important thing to realize, is that while we develop, and I'll talk about this later, but while we develop sources of local funding for things like affordable housing, we need to look to where we can leverage state and federal resources to make those funds even go even farther.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of the kind of response to the pandemic, how do you think the county government, Jefferson County's response to the pandemic has been? What would you improve if you were a commissioner?
Considering this pandemic came out of nowhere, I think the county is doing pretty good because they stepped up and they mobilized a response. I've been sitting in on most of the Board of County Commissioner meetings and the Board of Health meetings for the last 5 months. And I would say that I've witnessed our elected leaders and the management staff of the county being inquisitive and responsive regarding the response to the crisis we are in, both on the public health side and on the community impact side. So I think that my impression is that they're doing a good job. From the broader community, I've seen the county engage a number of community partners through something that's called the Intergovernmental Collaborative Group, which is a collaboration between the county, the city, the port, and the PUD. So they engage the broader community through six task forces. And I don't know if you're familiar with these efforts that are going on, but they're focused on human services, food system resiliency, broadband access, culture and events, economy and jobs, and children and families. And those groups are now tasked with coming up with specific proposals that can be incorporated into a broader plan that will ultimately be adopted by this collaborative group in December.
Okay.
So they're working kind of quickly, mm-hmm. which is good because this is all happening real time for us. The actions that they're proposing are meant to be short-term, but the short-term actions are supposed to build momentum for the future. So I commend the strategic community engagement that they highlighted almost instantly as a priority in this process. I can't say something needs to be improved when it's just being created right now,
yeah.
But I'm hoping that there's a funding strategy for each action that they propose. And I hope that the outcomes that they work towards focus on improving the lives of residents and businesses in our county that are most impacted by the pandemic.
Pivoting off of that answer, one of the hot topics that you probably get asked about in all of the forums whenever you talk to people is about housing and affordable housing here. And, you know, I'm sure you've had to have this conversation many times before, but I'm curious to hear more about what are some things that you hope to do if you're a commissioner to increase the amount of affordable housing there is here for residents?
So you're right. I have been hearing about this a lot, and it's not something that I just started paying attention to when I walked into the campaign world this year. It's something that I started to identify about a year and a half ago that I wanted to get involved in, and I started having conversations with members of the Housing Solutions Network, and I've been aware of the housing crisis in our community largely due to firsthand relationships I have with my colleagues and my friends who are having a hard time finding homes. And because I've lived here so long, I've been able to match some of them up with appropriate housing. And I realized that that wasn't really a real strategy for solving the housing problem of the residents of our county. But, you know, it was something that I could do kind of on a one-off basis for people that I knew. But what those conversations caused for me was a sincere interest in looking at the problem and trying to understand how to help solve it. Longer term, I think we need, I hate saying multi-pronged, but I'm going to say multi-pronged strategy, fueled by the work of all the homeless and housing advocates in our county. There are tons of people looking at this issue, and they're all smart and wonderful and doing really good work, and I think that they need to be supported. And we need to look at the problem both from the outside resources, outside the county, and also mobilizing resources that we have within the Jefferson County kind of government to build a more robust pool of support for housing. It's not going to be a short-term, quick fix for the long-term problem, but I think we need to think about a long-term solution. I'm going to get into the weeds a little bit here, but this is probably my longest set of comments for you. There's an opportunity we have right now. There was some legislation passed in the spring, House Bill 1590 at the state legislature, that allows local jurisdictions like counties to create a funding stream by increasing sales tax by 0.1% for affordable housing. This move would create about $600,000 annually, but it would provide a way to leverage other sources of funding that the county currently has, and also provide a way to leverage funding, as we just were talking about, from state and federal sources to match local funding. There has been a little bit of back and forth about this solution at the Affordable Housing Task Force of the county, but I would say that I would support mobilizing this 0.1% increase to our sales tax to deal with affordable housing and homelessness in our county, hands down. And that might be a somewhat controversial thing for me to be saying, but I would support it. And another somewhat, I think, harder nut to crack is creating the regulatory framework to allow for tiny house communities, which you hear people talking about a lot. And
yeah.
I've always had this fantasy of living in a tiny house because I live in my grandmother's 1,700 square foot house that was built in Hadlock in 1889, I believe. And sometimes I'm like, I just want to live in a small house, well insulated with, you know. But
yeah.
So I have a tiny house fantasy of my own, but I think that they would be a great solution. And other communities have been building the regulatory framework and then building tiny house communities. And sometimes I'm wondering, like, why can't we just do that here? So I know there's a way we can do it here. And that would be one of my priorities, is to help build that regulatory framework and figure out what we needed to change to make it possible for tiny house communities to be developed. there are, you know, there are like RV parks around the county that where there's infrastructure there. And if we could redevelop some RV parks, for example, into tiny house communities, that seems like it would be a viable option. But an obstacle to that is often waste management.
Yes.
So I know I'm not going to talk a lot about the sewer, but it would be a way to kind of pave the way for there to be kind of a renovation of RV parks into tiny house and tiny house villages. And I think that would be a good outcome of a sewer in Port Hadlock or denser development in Port Townsend, which does have a sewer.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to talk with you about is when it comes to working within the county on kind of the regulatory side of things, you know, one thing I know that the city has been working on a lot for housing is streamlining the processes, making their building department more capable of having, you know, developers build affordable housing. But right now, our development department with the county is a pretty small group of people. The director actually has been moved to help with the COVID-19 financial recovery. That's Patty Charnas. Mm-hmm. And so they have a huge workload. And so how would you go about working within this kind of small team to make some of those things happen?
So I just talked to Patty about this the other day, and she reminded me that the DCD staff went from 27 staff to 12 after the Great Recession of 2008, and it hasn't come back up.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
So there's a fact for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're extremely limited in their capacity, and I think that the time we're in right now, that one of the silver linings of the pandemic is that it has illustrated the need and the efficiency of accessibility around internet access. And I've talked with a number of builders in the community because I was wondering what they thought the solution would be. And they said, well, Kitsap County has developed an online permitting process. And I was like, really? And you know, they talked about the how that would be great if, you know, Jefferson County could have an online permit center and you could kind of track the progress of your application and only need to call the staff when you really had something you needed to troubleshoot. And I think that makes sense. I mean, I'm oversimplifying it, but I think that looking at what our neighboring counties are doing that is working seems like a really good place to start. And talking with the stakeholders, the builders in our community, about what they've seen work, who some of them build over in Kitsap, I think it's a logical next step. So I would look at that. What would it take to get our permitting process online? And how could we support that as a Board of County Commissioners? I mean, it would be a staff mobilized thing, but how would the BOCC support implementing something like that?
Yeah, that would be really interesting. And I think would help a lot with that process.
Yeah.
Pivoting to a new question, but still related to county government. The Sheriff's Department is part of the county government. And as a commissioner, you would have to interact with the Sheriff's Department and the sheriff and the deputies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this summer, policing has been a huge topic here in Port Townsend and in Jefferson County. And here on KPTZ, we had this show called Reckoning. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting. There were members of our community who are Black or Indigenous or people of color who talked about experiences they had with sheriff's deputies. Mm-hmm. And it was a bit hard to hear, you know.
I heard it. I listened to the whole thing.
Yeah. So, you know, I was hoping to hear your ideas for how you think Jefferson County can improve public safety and also improve those relationships. And I'd also be curious to hear your thoughts on the calls we've heard nationwide to defund police departments. The city is working on that. I don't know what the county is doing quite yet, but they're having conversations. Mm-hmm. So I'd be curious to hear what you think about that.
Yeah. So the first thing I would say, and I've been saying over and over again, is I think we should ask members of our BIPOC community in Jefferson County what they would like to see us do, and make sure that they're heard in this conversation. And I think Reckoning was a good start to that, but I don't think it's the end. We all have a role to play in this conversation, and I think it's incumbent upon each of us to look inside ourselves and figure out what we can do to further the conversation and to be open to everyone in our community. I don't agree with the national calls to defund the police as a defund the police movement. I just held up air quotes.
Yeah.
I realize I'm doing that, and you can see it.
You can't see it on radio.
You can see it on the radio. I know that our sheriff, Joe Knoll, is working on measures to ensure fairness and accountability, and that they are fundamental to the work of our sheriff's office, or they should be. And I know he's working on implicit bias training right now and getting that funded for his department and pursuing the use of body cameras for his team. He said he was throwing around budget numbers on the Reckoning event. So I think that he's really thinking about it. And I think there are other creative solutions that could help kind of de-escalate the community's kind of policing and provide more compassionate response to issues that arise when they arise, when 911 is called, who shows up?
Mm-hmm. One thing, when I was talking with one of the members of the new Jefferson County Black Lives Matter movement, Sean Vinson, he said, and this was back in June, so he might have changed his ideas, but he was hoping that maybe down the road we could have a sheriff's department that was not armed with firearms. What are your thoughts on that?
I would want to hear more about that. I don't know if that is what would be the alternative. What would somebody responding to some kind of violent crime.
Yeah.
What kind of self-defense mechanism or training would they have as an alternative to guns? I don't like guns, you know, and I've been kind of shocked at hearing people who I know buying guns. And, there's a lot of fear right now. And I think it's really a charged time. And I think that guns are more dangerous right now than they've ever been. There have been shootings around here. Did you hear about the shooting on Nordland the other day? I mean, people just have guns and they're a response mechanism. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very dangerous. And I don't know, I would want to have a conversation with more than just you and I about that question.
Yeah.
Because it's a big question.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your response and candidness about it.
Yeah.
Going off of that, you know, as you said, we're kind of living in a time where there's a lot going on that's stressful. There's kind of some very divisive issues. We have this election coming up, not the county commissioner election so much as the national election.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we've seen it here in Jefferson County, a relatively peaceful county. But, you know, back in June and July, we had a lot of Black Lives Matter protests. Mm-hmm. Just on Sunday, we had a Blue Lives Matter protest where people were driving up and down Water Street with their flags, honking their horns. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of separation. I almost think that, you know, Port Hadlock and Chimicum and District 2 is where we see some very stark divides. And as a county commissioner, you're going to have to reach out to so many sides. How do you think you can help bring back a community feeling when there is a lot of stressfulness happening right now?
Well, one thing, I mean, yes, it's a super stressful time. It's so stressful. I mean, there's been so many decisions I've had to make personally and my friends and colleagues have had to make over the last 7 months. And then on top of that, you know, these kind of national and local kind of pressure cookers that we've been in. I think at the core, to create community, we need to create opportunities to talk with each other and to listen to each other. And we really need to get to know each other. And one thing is, I've lived in District 2 for 40 years, and I went to school in Chimicum, and I feel a kinship with my neighbors out there that is really important to me. And I feel like it's one of the things that's motivating me to run for this office. It is a different community, but it's also a community. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading in this time. And one thing, I picked up the People's History of the United States, and it's 500 pages, and I read through half of it. And then I started reading a lot of other things. And I read something the other day about a man named DeRay McKesson. He's a prominent Black Lives Matter activist from St. Louis, Missouri. And he said, "Protest opens space for the solution. Protest is not the solution. So his comments kind of sparked me thinking, well, I want to be part of supporting whatever happens in that solution space. I want to be part of those conversations. And I'll keep marching. I've been marching and listening, but I want to help facilitate or do whatever I can do that I'm asked to do to develop solutions in the space that we're creating through all this protest, because that's what I see happening. And I see conversations happening. Reckoning, I felt like, was part of in response to that kind of energy that our community was feeling. We needed to come together and start talking. And I think it's just the beginning, but I hope it continues.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put that in a negative. And I know that I just got off the phone with Joel Noel because I said, I'm going to say something on the radio, and I haven't even checked with you if you think it's a good idea. And I've been reading a lot about community-based crisis programs, and I think you probably know that our city hired a navigator, mm-hmm. and his purpose is to help kind of de-escalate and provide access to other resources in the community for people who are in need. Because I've read in a number of places that only 1% of the calls that the teams that are doing crisis response are responding to actually require police assistance. 1%. So 99% of the calls of this group in Eugene, Oregon, is really the example I'm quoting, are things that they can deal with. And wow. It's crisis intervention, right? It's just people who need some kind of support. It's not a violent moment. So I think we're making improvements in our community through things like having a navigator. And I keep saying out loud everywhere, I think that the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office should have a navigator, or they should, you know, partner with the city and develop a navigator program that covers the whole county. And so I called Joe Noel and I said, are you open to it? And he's totally open to it. And he thinks it's a great idea. He's like, I don't know how exactly that would happen and where the funding would come from and what we'd have to move around. But, you know, there are ideas out there and people are open to them. And I mm-hmm. think we just need to figure out how to mobilize them.
Yeah. This draws back to the start of our conversation and kind of ties up everything. But how do you envision, if you were to become a county commissioner, Jefferson County as a whole emerging from this time, this pandemic, these, you know, kind of difficult conversations about race and policing and everything that we've been seeing going on right now? How do you envision us emerging from that?
Well, the first thing we need to do is weather the pandemic. We don't really know what coming out of the pandemic looks like. I pull inside in answering this question and I think about, what do I need to weather the pandemic? And what I've been doing for the last 5 months is I've been getting on my bike 3 days a week and riding 10 to 15 miles in the most beautiful place in the world. And I've got this routine that I've called Waking with the Birds, where I get up and I get grounded in the morning, either a bike ride or a walk, and I just get on steady footing. And I think that I would encourage everyone in the community to find something, whether it's a 30-second talk you give yourself, or it's a cup of coffee that you have quietly, or whatever it is, whatever your ritual can be, find it and find a way to steady yourself at the beginning of the day, because we're all going to need to be our best selves to prepare for a better future for our community. And we also need to keep our eyes on the horizon. What does the end of the pandemic look like? There's so much noise about the pandemic nationally, statewide, locally right now, that we don't have a sense of what the end looks like. But I think we all need to keep our eyes on the horizon and kind of target what the end looks like and how we stay healthy as a community to get to that place. I'm super hopeful about the future of our community. I'm an optimist with a grounding in realism and have led organizations through the Great Recession and kind of post 9/11 days. And I found that it was really about kind of staying centered and compassionate and moving forward step by step.
Well, thank you so much for being here with me today, Heidi. It was really great to talk over some of these issues. They're not very easy issues to talk about.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No. But important.
Yeah. And thanks so much for just being open and honest about it. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Lily. You too.
Thanks for being here.
I appreciate your time.
You just heard from Heidi Eisenhower, who is running for the District 2 seat on the Board of County Commissioners. If you missed the interview, head to kptz.org to listen to the full thing. Now we're moving on to Heidi's opposition, Lorna Smith, who was the first to announce her bid to run for the District 2 seat in February. Hi, Lorna. Thanks so much for being here today.
Howdy, Lily. I'm really glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, how are you doing, even though it's quite a smoky day out there today?
Well, I think we're all suffering from that just a little bit.
Yeah.
Feel it in my throat. So
yeah, me too.
I'll try not to talk with a scratchy throat.
One question I wanted to start off with, you were the first to announce your bid for the commissioner seat way back in February, and then COVID hit and everything changed. Can you tell me a little bit about what it's been like to run a campaign during this pandemic?
Well, it certainly was a surprise. We had all kinds of things planned that we had to change plans. So obviously, during this pandemic, we're not able to get out and meet with people like we want. The real disappointing part of it is not being able to get out and doorbell. So we're replacing doorbelling with a lot of the Zoom meet and greets, with sending out email blasts, and just, you know, trying to get out there in front of the voters every way we can, but it's just really not the same. The only saving grace, I guess, is that all of us as candidates are in the same boat. But it definitely is a very different way to run a campaign.
Definitely, yeah. And Zoom can be really tiring after a while, don't you think?
It's strangely so, yes. I find it that way.
It's very different than face-to-face.
Yes.
Which is why I'm glad that I was able to have you, both you and Heidi, in the studio, even though we're separated by this glass. It's kind of nice to be able to at least feel like it's a real conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, as we are moving into, I think this is our sixth or seventh month in the COVID-19 pandemic, what are some of the ways that you've been brainstorming to support, you know, the members of our community who might have been really impacted by this, either by losing their jobs or not doing as well with their businesses because they had to close down? You know, if you were to become commissioner, how would you support those people?
One of my very first priorities taking office is going to be to rally all of the resources possible to assist our community. We've got people that have been laid off. We've got businesses that have closed their doors. I feel for the parents who are trying to deal with their kids at home and homeschooling and all of these things that have affected their lives so deeply. People have been are unemployed, they've been furloughed. So I want to ensure that we position ourselves as well as we can to be competitive for whatever assistance is out there available at the federal level, at the state level. And I think one way we do that is to collaboratively work together. So that's going to be our Board of County Commissioners, the Port Townsend City Council, possibly the Port, the EDC, the Chamber. All of us have to put our heads together, and the nonprofits as well, to figure out how do we survive this? How do we get through and bring home as much help as we possibly can? So I think that working together and having a real game plan and sticking to it is going to be really important.
Well, that kind of leads into my next question. I'm sure you've been watching the county commissioner meetings.
Yep.
And seeing Tom Locke, our public health director, give an update every Monday since this started. I was curious to hear both from you and Heidi about how you would rate the county's response so far to this pandemic.
I'm glad to say that I'm really proud of our county and the response we've had so far to the COVID crisis, and especially the work of our local health district and Dr. Tom Locke. I think we can be, you know, very proud and thankful that we have him there. I think just last week, at the end of last week, we were going back as a county into that really low risk situation, meaning we're making progress. But I know that he was cautioning us to let's keep a lookout because we just came through Labor Day weekend and we'll see what kind of effect that has. It was a hot, sunny Labor Day weekend. People, I'm sure, were tempted to get together. So we really need to keep our eye on that ball. Commissioner Kate Dean gets high marks for really going out there and seeking some of the COVID relief dollars. I think the county's done a lot of good things. They moved Director Patty Charnas from Community Development across the street to help with writing grants to help with the recovery efforts. So we've done pretty well so far. But, you know, clearly we have a lot more to do. We're going to have to make sure that we continue to have enough support financially and otherwise for our healthcare services, for our schools. So those are some of the remaining concerns that and the Board of County Commissioners needs to be at the forefront of efforts to ensure those things happen.
Yeah. And can you elaborate a little bit on what you mentioned with, you know, Commissioner Kate Dean being at the head of reaching for those federal assistance dollars? What would you see the role of a commissioner if you were to become a commissioner in, you know, advocating for more stimulus funding or more unemployment funding, which we haven't seen any more of?
People perhaps have the perception that politics is a level playing field, but in fact, relationships have a whole lot to do with politics, and Kate Dean knows that. She has made a real effort to get to know our congressional delegation and their staff, as well as our Washington State legislative delegation and their staff, so that she can pick up the phone and call them and know what's going on. She gets kind of a heads up if there's a new funding pot of money that might be available. So that's the sort of thing that I've been seeing her do, kind of bird dogging that, which is an important role for a commissioner.
I'm kind of going to pivot on topics real quick here, but it does also have to do with funding. Housing, affordable housing, is a really hot topic, and I'm sure you've had to talk about this at the many forums that you've done to potential voters. But how are ways that you are thinking we can create more affordable housing for people here in Jefferson County?
First of all, there's things that we can affect and things that it's going to be difficult for us to affect. We're feeling that effect on housing prices and housing availability that is spilling over from King County and Snohomish County. So that is what it is. But there are things that we can do. And when I worked at Snohomish County, I was involved in driving a number of affordable housing projects and infrastructure projects through that permitting maze and across the finish line. So I know what it takes to do that. And I think I could be of assistance to community development and even our nonprofits as they're working to develop affordable housing approaches. You know, when I was at the county, also at Snohomish County, we went through a process of regulatory reform where we took our unified development code and we went through it and simplified it and we looked for inconsistencies and made it very predictable. And in addition to reforming the code so that it was very clear to read, we also made the permitting process very predictable and clear to read. And then we cross-trained staff, which is really important, so that no matter who that permit applicant is talking to across the table when they submit their application, they're getting the same instructions, they're getting the same timelines, and everyone knows that. So I really think that a lot of the frustrations of people trying to get permits is that they get told a different answer every time they come in. And it's understandable if, you know, if Joe's at his lunch hour and Bob's taken over and it doesn't really do that all the time, you might not get the same answer. So cross-training is important. Reviewing the regulations for inconsistencies are important and making it very clear. Then also, in addition to that, we need to look at our code and find out where the flexibility actually exists. For instance, right now, the county has a provision to allow accessory dwelling units, ADUs. And I think that we need to encourage that process more. In the county, you can live in one or the other. You can live in the main house or the accessory building, and then you can rent out the other one. If more people were doing that, obviously, it would help with the affordable housing market considerably. One of the problems, of course, is the, you know, septic aspects of it. So, as you know, I've been serving for the last 7 years on the Planning Commission, and we just forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners for consideration to look at programs that would do just this very thing, that would encourage smaller houses on smaller footprints, tiny house villages, that kind of thing. When we amended the comp plan back in 2018, these were some of the policies we included in the comp plan. We wanted to see these things looked at. Let's get innovative about what we can do to make housing more affordable. And now we want to see some code provisions, some pilot projects that would actually implement those provisions in the comp plan. We have a very good, very forward-thinking, comprehensive plan. Code needs to catch up with it.
Yeah, and I was wondering on your time at the Planning Commission, I'm sure you got a lot of time to spend with the Community Development Department.
Yes.
And part of, you know, for those who maybe haven't, you know, tried building something before, part of the permitting process is mainly with this department, which is pretty severely understaffed. And right now, as you mentioned, Patty Chernis, the director, is working on the COVID relief fund. And so there's not that many staff people working there. How can we do all these things, you know, like streamlining and the regulatory reform, when that department is so small and can hardly handle the work that they have right now?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that follow-up question, because honestly, they are short-staffed. They really are. I saw you had included in the question also that there was perhaps a consideration that the county employees weren't on equal par with the city and maybe some others. If that's true, then we certainly need to do a review across the board of like pay for like work, and we need to get better at recruiting employees. It has been, employer retention at the department has been a problem since my time on the Planning Commission. But I also think that it may not be realistic for a county the size of ours to expect that community development can fund all of their activities through permit fees. They're operating as an enterprise fund right now, as you probably know, and what they take in just really isn't sufficient. I think they either need some dollars to flow that way from the general fund, or perhaps they need to look at implementing something like mitigation fees for developers that impact our public services and pay into a pot to offset that. We need more help at CD, at community development, for sure. So we probably have to approach that on a number of levels.
And speaking of the government and how it works, part of the government includes the sheriff's office. And I'm sure you're aware, in recent days, since, you know, June, May and June, the conversation of law enforcement has been really a hot topic in the news. Law enforcement specifically with, you know, racial profiling and police brutality. Here we have seen several Black Lives Matter protests. We have also seen Blue Lives Matter protests. And we've seen some stuff come out, you know, at KPTZ, we had this event called Reckoning. I don't know if you had the chance. Yeah, you'd listen to it. And, you know, some people in our community who are Black, Indigenous, or other people of color spoke about their experiences with our sheriff's deputies here. And for white people, it might have been a little surprising to know that they had those experiences. So I was curious about your opinion on law enforcement and rethinking what public safety is, what the police do. And I was wondering if you agree with these national calls to defund police departments.
This is a big conversation, and I want to start it out by saying I come from a very racially diverse, very large and racially diverse family. So I'm very sensitive to these issues. And we do have a national crisis of inequality. I don't think any of us can doubt or deny that. And so we have to start by acknowledging that, acknowledging that we all have collective responsibility for systemic racism throughout our government, throughout our lives. So this has starkly manifested, not just recently, but has come to the forefront recently in the deaths of so many Black people, people of color, at the hands of police. And so we've seen these protests sweep across the country. And I want to point out that the news was reporting today that 98% of these protests that have now been going on for months in large cities actually around the world, but let's stick with in the U.S., and 98% of them have been peaceful protests. So this idea that there's people, you know, burning down cities and out to get the police and all really isn't happening like the, you know, some of the media is reporting it. Our own Sheriff Joe Noel, in conversations with me, has admitted that we need reform and we need better training in among our police and sheriff staff. So it's really important that we remove every trace of racism in our law enforcement. And that's not going to be easy. It's going to require training, retraining, enforcement of it at all levels. And I sense that Sheriff Noel knows that and is with us on seeing it through. He may not know what all the tools are to make it happen, but I'm really pleased to see that he's at the table. He's taking part in these conversations. He's owning up that there's shared responsibility, and he's willing to, you know, step up and look at it. Again, something that Kate Dean frequently talks about is that the city of Port Townsend has a position that's called, oh, I'm going to see if I can find where I wrote it down here.
I think you're talking about the navigator.
Yeah, the navigator. Yeah, it's such a term that doesn't just seem intuitive. The city has a position called navigator that when there's a call that comes into 911, that position helps the first responders decide who goes there, what response is needed, because it doesn't really help someone who's in the middle of a mental health crisis to get hauled off to jail, spend the night there. We even had an incident in my own extended family where someone was in the middle of a mental health crisis. Police were called in. This individual ended up spending the night in jail and was so distraught that he actually broke his hand hitting it against the wall trying to get out. I mean, and then, believe me, the problem was much worse after he got out of there. So I have somewhat firsthand knowledge of putting a person in a mental health crisis in jail is not the answer. And again, Sheriff Joel Noel agrees with that. And we need to, if we don't have a navigator per se, we need that function filled somehow so that when there is an emergency, maybe somebody's in a, you know, has OD'd on drugs or it's alcohol or it's mental illness or even just homelessness, who is the right person to respond? How do we get them to the social services that they actually need that can help this person in their time of crisis? So when we talk about defunding the police, I don't believe we need to unfund the police as much as we need to look at where do we need to put our resources to respond to community crises. And the community should have a say in how that happens. And so I was actually pleased to see this coming together that KPTZ sponsored, where people of color, other, you know, minorities within our community can voice what their experiences have been and how they'd like to be treated or see their family members treated in these situations, because that's how we're going to get to answers. Acknowledging that we're all human, that yes, there is such a thing as systemic racism. We've all been part of it, and we all need to be part of abolishing it, banishing it, and it won't happen overnight. But boy, that first step is acknowledging that it exists.
Yeah, and the city council actually, I saw, has formed a committee to kind of look at the Port Townsend Police Department, the resources that they have, the budget that they have, the weapons that they have and use. I was wondering, you know, would you be in favor of the county doing something similar and reviewing the sheriff's office's budget and seeing where the money goes to?
Absolutely. And again, I think that Sheriff Joe Noel is willing to go through that process. Let's see what makes sense. I mean, even before all of the Black Lives Matter protests started up, when I had a conversation with him, he mentioned to me, this is kind of crazy that we can't get people into the hospital. And if I can't get hold of the hospital, the person assigned from the hospital to work with the sheriff's office is not always available. Then that person ends up going into the jail. And that's a responsibility the sheriff's office doesn't necessarily want, you know. So we need to examine all of that, look at the budget, look at the responsibilities, and let the money go where the responsibilities should be.
Yeah, that makes sense. And speaking of protests, we've seen quite a few protests happen in Port Townsend, Port Hadlock, Chimicum over the last few months of all kinds. I remember one incident back in June, I think, was a walk in Chimicum. And you had people protesting police brutality and racism. And meanwhile, cars are driving by, kind of almost hitting them, you know, yelling things out the window. We're living in such divisive times right now. You know, a couple weeks ago, we saw a Blue Lives Matter rally downtown Port Townsend, which I think a lot of people were surprised to see. As a commissioner, how would you go about mending these community divisions that we have? You know, sometimes we don't agree with our neighbors, and that can cause huge problems in getting the important things done. How would you go about that?
Well, I think these community discussions that KPTZ is taking part in, that Commissioner Dean is certainly pushing to happen, we have to continue those. We almost can't get together and talk about it too much at this point. We need to listen to each other's perspectives. And the Board of County Commissioners needs to be at the forefront of advocating for this to happen, for the community healing to happen. They need to walk the talk. And I, for one, am committed to do that. I've taken part in the Port Townsend Black Lives Matter protests personally, and will continue to do that. I feel strongly that, you know, getting elected to the Board of County Commissioners doesn't mean you take off your hat of community activist. And I've been a community activist my entire life. And this is an issue I feel very strongly about. Not that one side's right or the other side's wrong, but that we need to bring people together and have this healing happen. We need to acknowledge the systemic racism that does exist. And then we need to listen to each other and find ways to heal our community. We're a great community. We have so many wonderful things we do together. And I believe we can do this. We can get through this, and we can work together. The Native community, look at our Chesimoka Park, the trail, the totem pole, the Sklallam tribe gifted us. We're beginning to acknowledge the brown and black members of our community and realize their contributions. We need to lift them up and make them really feel that they're welcome. I was really surprised to find out just how many Latinos live in Jefferson County, for instance, and black people too. We don't see them every day. I'm not sure they feel comfortable and safe. I hate to say it, you know, walking the streets in our community. Boy, we need to change that. And I've lived in other cultures. I lived in Costa Rica for 4 years. I'm a Spanish speaker. My husband and I sponsor an asylum applicant. And living in a foreign country, being, as if you will, the minority, speaking another language, taught me a lot about a much bigger worldview. And I think that's important. It has shaped my view of people in the world. So
yeah. Well, that's really interesting to hear. It's been so great talking with you today. I have one last question for you, and it kind of piggybacks off of that idea of community. And I was just curious to ask, how do you envision Jefferson County? How do you envision us emerging from this pandemic and from these, you know, times of protest and division? How do we prepare for a better future?
Well, certainly, into the foreseeable future, when it comes to COVID, we're going to have to keep our defenses up and keep our vigilance up. We all hope that we'll do the smart thing, and that by sometime after the first of the year, maybe that magic vaccine will be developed and we can start to move back to normalcy. It's going to be important that we make sure that everyone is on that path to recovery, because a lot of people are hurting right now, as we talked about earlier, people who lost their jobs. A lot of those jobs may not come back, or they may not come back the way they were. We may need to look at retraining programs for people. as I mentioned earlier, we need to go out and find those resources that will help help heal the community. One program that there's been a lot of talk about at the federal level is reenacting the CCC, the Conservation Corps, the Civil Conservation Corps. I could see a program like that coming into Jefferson County, creating jobs, working in our net. We have so much public lands and beautiful national parks and trails and all. We could use those folks to come in. We could hire, you know, locals to work on the trails and the parks. There's a big deficit of maintenance, as you know, in our national park and on our trails. So maybe a program like that that we should advocate for the county. But I think there's some exciting possibilities in the future as we head into that time of healing.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens, yes. Right? Well, thank you so much. It's been great chatting with you today. And thanks for answering all of my questions. I know some of them weren't all easy.
Well, I think you asked important questions that need to be addressed, Lily. So thank you for having me today. I really appreciate it. And we shall see what happens in November.
Yeah. We'll see you in November.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lorna. That was Lorna Smith, one of the two candidates you'll see on the ballot this November running for the District 2 seat on the Board of County Commissioners. Earlier, I also spoke with her opponent, Heidi Eisenhower. If you'd like to hear the full interviews, head to kptz.org. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to vote.